How do you like your coffee? Freshly roasted? You can just smell it, can't you? Well, how would you like it brought to you? If you're passionate about your coffee, then a Passion for the Bean is for you. At a Passion for the Bean, they custom roast coffee beans from around the world when you place your order, so your coffee is guaranteed to be fresh, rich, full-bodied, and full of flavor. That's not the taste that you get from coffee beans that have been sitting on a supermarket or coffeehouse shelf for weeks. Now, to have the ultimate coffee experience delivered to your home or office, call a Passion for the Bean at 480-703-2326. That's 480-703-BEAN. A Passion for the Bean has joined forces with the American Stroke Association in the fight to end stroke. Now, you can help by purchasing an ASA signature blend, and 30% of the proceeds will go directly to the ASA. Help us put an end to stroke. The life you save may be your own. And call a Passion for the Bean today, 480-703-2326.
From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and this is a show where every week we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, meaning finding balance in our lives with body, mind, and spirit. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. Now, the question we ask on this show is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? So, we're having a very special show tonight about a very special woman, even though that woman is not the guest on the show tonight. On this Sunday, on October 8th, a friend of mine and a teacher of mine, Louise Hay, turns 80 years old. And there's been a week-long celebration. Last Friday night, I was one of probably 1,000 people celebrating at the Four Seasons in Carlsbad, California, a huge party where people flew in from all over the world to really celebrate a wise woman and a loving woman, Louise Hay. And today, on louisehayradio.com, they had a radiothon where Louise was actually, even though she's retired, she came out of retirement and spent 4 or 5 hours in the studio at Louise Hay Radio and talked with a lot of callers and a lot of guests and interviewed a lot of people, and I was one of those people that was interviewed earlier today. And my guest tonight is also one of the people that were interviewed, and her name is not a household name, unless you're in Louise's household or her own household. Her name is Shelley Anderson. But I think you're going to find out by the end of the show tonight that Shelley is destined to be a household name, too.
Uh-huh.
Shelley is Louise Hay's personal assistant and has been since 1998. Until recently, Shelley answered over 10,000 letters and emails a year for Louise, corresponding with fans all over the world about Louise and her work, and counseling people on how to live life to the fullest with Louise's daily blessing. Now, Shelley is also the creator and editor of the Louise Hay newsletter and website, louisehay.com. She also created the website for Louise's charitable foundation, the Hay Foundation. Now, Shelley is somebody who, like what a personal assistant for a celebrity is supposed to do. She runs gunshot for the celebrity. She protects them. She carries messages. She helps keep that person's life at peace. Now, you would think that someone like Louise keeps her own life at peace, and I believe that's true. But we all have contributors to that aspect of our lives, and Shelley Anderson is one of those people in Louise's life that helps keep her life in order. So, Shelley, I really want to welcome you to the show tonight.
Well, wow, with that kind of introduction. Thank you, George.
Well, you know, the more I get to know you, the more I realize how much of a teacher you are yourself. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And that's why I say I think my listeners tonight are going to understand that you have that presence yourself.
Well,
and so I do have a phone number. This is a live show tonight, so if you're listening, driving around Phoenix or at home in Phoenix, and you want to call in and ask a question about what we're talking about Louise Hay, or talk about how Louise has impacted your own life, then the number to call is area code 480-949-1310. 480-949-1310. And if you're listening over the internet outside the Phoenix area, it's the same number, 480-949-1310. So, Shelley.
Stuart.
Let's talk about you before we talk about Louise.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what it means to be a personal assistant and how you came to be a personal assistant for Louise.
Oh, that's great fun. Well, you know, it's a whole other world, a celebrity personal assistant, one that I wasn't aware of, really, until I started working for Louise. But my background was basically as a performer. I was a singer and an actress for 20 years, and I thought I was just going to be a little old lady, you know, teaching voice lessons somewhere, you know, in California for the rest of my life, and it took a whole different...
But you are. You're teaching people to find their voice.
In a different way than what I thought I was going to be
That's
doing.
That's right,
Very
yes.
good, Stuart. Truly, thank you so much. I really figured that out today for the first time when I was on the radiothon, that, yeah, maybe I have a few things to say. It surprised me today about that. I got to know Louise. I already knew her work and stuff, but I moved from L.A. I was there for 20 years singing and all that, and then I also worked at Capitol Records working for the president of the company. So I had a little bit of a sense of what it's like to work with high-powered people who really want to get the job done in a timely manner, whose lives are so incredibly busy being out there in the public eye. They need to have people around them that really are able to make their life easier. And so I was in that milieu, came to San Diego, and didn't know Louise did as well. So she was looking for someone, put an ad in the paper. You know, Louise is amazing. She just doesn't worry about life. She just knows life will bring to her what she needs. So instead of going through an agency or some kind of specialty deal to get a specialized personal assistant, she just puts an ad in the local paper. I answered the ad, and I was the only person they interviewed.
You're serious?
I'm very serious. She got 350... my first job was to answer all those letters and say, sorry, you didn't get the job I did. it was a pretty fun thing. But she got right away that but you know, she understood who I was right away and knew that I knew who she was. And I said, I can handle divas, and I'm also incredible, and I totally know your work. And so we met for 5 minutes. That was about as long as we could possibly stand it before we finally said, okay, you know, you're hired, and now let's get going. So it was a pretty cool thing.
Great. And so what do you do for her?
Oh, my gosh.
What does it mean to be a personal assistant?
Well, in my case, and it's different for lots of different people that are celebrity personal assistants, in my case, I do not work 24/7. I work a regular 9-to-5. You know, I have a beautiful office out of her home. So I do handle all her finances and schedules and, you know, just making sure she's getting where she's supposed to be and all of that. But I'm also given the responsibility up until recently to answer all of her fan mail, which was, it's so phenomenal. It's around the world. And for some reason, I had a knack for it. And I, you know, finally sat down and figured out how many letters a year I was doing for her just for the heck of it one time, and it was 10,000 a year. So that's pretty amazing when you look back.
Mm-hmm.
On that, and after doing that for 7.5 years, in January I went to her and I said, now that you're retired, I think I'm done with that. I think it's time to, you know, see what other teachers are doing and see what if they're answering letters and how they're handling that volume. And they weren't. We were the only ones doing it. So I said, okay, we're done. I do still answer maybe 5 letters a week. It's not the huge volume that it was before. But it was great.
So you're still not getting that huge volume. You're not getting that huge volume.
Because we decided not to do it. We told people we're sorry. She's retired and we're not able to answer the letters anymore. And still, mm-hmm. people will trickle in with a little email here and there, or a little letter here and there. And we, you know, a little bit of guilt comes in. We'll answer this. But it's not the huge outpouring that it was before. Yeah, but it was great fun while I did it.
So basically you're doing her business stuff, but you're also when you're working for someone like Louise, you're working on a very deep emotional and spiritual level with the people that are in her life and that come in and out of the business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really have fun doing the newsletter that allows people, now that she's retired, you know, how can people still be in touch with her in some way? So by having newsletter, you get to see the latest thing she's doing. If she's doing ballroom dancing, if she's taking a painting class, people get a feel that they're right there with her and they know what she's doing right now, as well as words of wisdom and photographs and so on. And then that's also on her two websites. So if you do all of that and you're hanging in with the newsletters and the websites, you still know very much what's going on in her life today.
So let's talk about Louise now in terms of who she is. I want to just lay a foundation here in terms of how she describes herself. And this is from the introduction to the AIDS book, Creating a Positive Approach.
Yes.
And in that she says, "I am not a healer. I do not heal anyone. I'm a very simple lady who knows and teaches the power of love. That's all I do. Sometimes when people learn to love themselves, they create their own healing." And to me, that's the essence.
That's it. That's it.
And
see, it's so simple, Stuart, that it throws people off.
Well, and there are a lot of people, because my experience, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, how I came to be in her presence, if you want to call it that. There are a lot of people who have misinterpreted her a lot over the years,
mm-hmm.
in terms of basically she's talking about basic metaphysical principles.
Absolutely.
In an article that I actually have here from The Advocate from 1986.
Wow.
I know, I save everything. I'm out of ADD. You'd be amazed at what I found in my files as I was getting ready for this today. I mean, it was a trip through memory lane, and unfortunately a lot of sad thoughts about a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But she says everything begins with thought. Hayes' involvement with metaphysical counseling began in New York, in 1970. She's a minister of the First Church of Religious Science, which espouses a power of positive thinking philosophy known as science of mind.
Yep.
Everything begins with thought, Hay explains. When we change our thoughts, our experiences change. From science of mind, she went on to study other New Age schools of thought, including S. Silva Mind Control, Transcendental Meditation, and the Advocate Experience. And for a long time, she had a private practice where she was actually counseling people and started publishing.
Yep.
So basically, she's talking about basic, simple, metaphysical principle.
Yes.
Which means taking personal power for what's going on in your life. Not to, as she says, not to play the blame game, but to say that my life is going the way it is because of decisions and choices I make. The decisions and the choices I make are based on subconscious and conscious belief systems that I hold about myself and my worthiness.
Is absolutely.
That's
a very good description of it. Absolutely. And she has not veered from that ever. You know, that she's stuck with that mm-hmm. through thick and thin.
So what I was going to say, though, is that early on, especially with the AIDS epidemic, there are a lot of people who have pointed fingers at her, very unfairly, I believe, because I know what she was really saying, and people choose sometimes to hear what they want to hear. And what those people thought that they wanted to hear that she was saying was, if you learn to love yourself, you won't have HIV in your body anymore, and you won't die.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, all these people were dying around us, and so people were saying, well, you're a hypocrite and you're a liar.
Right.
But she never said she's a healer.
No, no, she's not. You know, no one can, see, here's the thing. Only you can change your life. And we can buy all the books and read all the, you know, stuff and listen to all the tapes and so on in the universe that we want. But the reality is that only you make the decisions for your life, not the employer, not the parent, not the child, not the whatever, not the disease. You're making the choices all the time. And mm-hmm. when you come to that realization and that aha, the first thing that probably comes up is a sense of denial about that, that you couldn't possibly be responsible for what's going on in your life. You know, are you kidding? Then when you finally get that it really is all about just you and your choices, then you have to be responsible. Then that opens up an entire world of possibilities for you.
For example, let's talk about you, Shelley.
Okay.
at a certain point, you were working on these principles, I would assume, because something wasn't going right in your own life.
I actually was just sort of introduced to the principles when I was growing up. I'm one of those people who didn't have to unlearn. Yeah, I didn't unlearn a religion and start, you know, have to start over kind of a thing. So I was very fortunate to have been raised in an environment that was very nurturing to me, you know, growing up. But what was interesting is that I knew about Louise Hay and her work way before I ever met her. And I'll share a quick story of how that impacted my life to where, you know, sometimes you need to be hit over the head or you need to have a physical demonstration of these principles in action for yourself. And then once you experience it, you realize it really works. For many years, since I was real little, I had lots of symptoms that no one could quite put together what they were. I would get vertigo, and of course people would tell me when I was a kid, oh, it's just because you can't, if you go on a roller coaster, you know, you get dizzy and you get an upset stomach, oh well, you know. But I would have vertigo all the time in different times of my life, and there would be no rhyme or reason to why it was showing up. It was like, you know, 10, 20, 30 years of this stuff going on. I'm not a medical person. I don't run to the cabinet, you know, and take medicines and stuff, so I couldn't quite figure out what was happening. And there was no cure for vertigo. And so I had that. I had ringing in the ears, tinnitus, and I'm a singer, so everyone kept telling me, oh, rock musicians and singers have tinnitus. So I'm like, okay. So I would just put up with this stuff. I had nausea, and I would have bright lights would bother me. So all these things I never connected as being maybe part of one thing. And I was around 1994, and I just had one more bout of vertigo, and I couldn't stand it, and I drove myself to the doctor, and I went to talk to my doctor and said, you know, here we are again. And he wasn't there. The nurse practitioner was there. She said, oh, well, tell me what else is going on. I told her all those symptoms. And she said, oh, this is actually got a name. It's actually a condition. I said, you're kidding me. And it's called Meniere's disease, and it's actually a real thing. And when you put all of that together, it's actually a condition. And I was so excited. She thought I had lost my mind because it had a name. It had a thing. It made some. It all made sense now.
Right.
And I was so excited. And she says, there's no cure. I said, I don't care. I'm just so happy that now I can name it and claim it is basically my feeling. And she said, can you come back tomorrow? The doctor will be here and he'll talk to you. And I said, sure. So I go downstairs. From my lips to God's ears, I'm telling you the truth, Stuart. I went down and pulled out my Heal Your Body, my little blue book from Louise Hay, and I turned to tinnitus, and I looked to see what it said, and I read it to myself out loud in the car, and what it said was, I trust my higher self, I listen with love to my inner voice, I release all that is unlike the action of love. I did that, and the tinnitus stopped, the vertigo was about 50% less, I had no nausea. I went, okay, this is working. And I continued to do that for a week. I would say this affirmation to myself all the time whenever any symptoms would start to come back. So that was my demonstration of this stuff really works. I already kind of knew it was working in my life, but this was a really obvious thing. And the doctor the next day wanted to give me a drug that would make me feel great, but would just mask all these symptoms. And I said, okay, how long do I take it for? And he said, the rest of your life.
Ah.
And I took it for one day, and I felt great. And I was, life was fantastic. And I went to type on my computer, and I could type 5 words a minute. I was just, you know, it was like, all right, do I want to live my life that way for the rest of my life? And I went, no. And mm-hmm. I took a different path. So, Louise, hey, thank you.
Uh-huh.
I do get these symptoms very rarely now. And when I do, I immediately just say this affirmation, and they stop instantly. You know, they're
well, it's interesting that you use the example of tinnitus, because I have severe tinnitus in my left ear.
No kidding.
And it's been associated with temporal mandibular joint syndrome. And I've been recently working with this dentist and chiropractor, and the pain that I lived with because of this TMJ, for 30 years, the pain is gone because
Of
a simple appliance that they made for me and the adjustments from the chiropractor.
Incredible.
Now we're working on the tinnitus, because you'll understand when I say this, I don't remember what silence sounds like.
I understand. It's very hard to explain that to people. If you're a physician, you probably understand a little bit more, but it's strange to live with that. And now I totally almost forget that I, you know, have this condition. I have this condition. It's supposed to be part of who I am all the time. And I'm like, only if I say so, you know. So I say no. I say no.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm gonna try an experiment, and I've used that book before. Heal Your Life.
You think?
And of course I have. And for some reason, I never went to the tinnitus.
Neither did I. Now come on, I had all
talk
this
about
stuff.
Subconscious resistance.
Exactly. I couldn't believe that I had never looked at that. And so, you know, I changed it slightly when I started doing it. And I changed it to say I listen to only my inner voice, because tinnitus is hearing, you know, you think you're hearing these sounds, and I had to tell myself that the only inner voice that was important was to listen to my heart, to listen to the inner small voice, that was the only voice that counted, and all the other noise going on around me, whatever it might be, was not real. And I have literally not even thought about this until you asked me to be on the show. And I thought, well, I need to tell a story or two. And then I thought, oh, my, that's one to tell. So, yeah, I'd forgotten about it.
That's excellent. And Louise's first book, You Can Heal Your Life,
yes,
has been a bestseller since, I think it came out in, what, 83 or 84?
84.
And it's been translated into almost every language on the planet.
Right.
In fact, I had a friend when I was traveling a lot doing work in Europe and Russia and stuff. I made this friend in Holland, and he was the one that translated You Can Hear Your Life into Dutch.
Wonderful.
And he actually came here and actually was at the hayride with us one night and was able to tell her he was the translator when her book was put out in Dutch.
That book has sold over 30 million copies.
30 million.
Mm-hmm. And that's
so,
the people who bought it. So how many people were, you know, did the people share the information with? Yeah, it's more than 30 million people on the planet, I think.
And for me, it's a really good basic primer that I suggest people read all the time. There are two books when it comes down to it. It's You Can Heal Your Life and Sandra Ray's Loving Relationships.
Oh, wonderful, yes. Absolutely.
And they're not that hard to find. You could even find used copies on Amazon, or it's a lot of used bookstores, because they've been around so long that they've been recycled over and over again.
Yes.
And people say, I read You Can Heal Your Life and it changed my life.
Yes, because she gives you basic tools that are not hard to understand, because Louise is a simple person that does not, you know, she thinks it's great that people want to write masterpieces, and that's not her. Her thing is, what's going to work for the common man or woman to just, you know, she speaks right to you as if she's right there in all the different areas of your life, whether it be relationships or illness or money or whatever, and makes it simple. And once you just, and you say to yourself, if I just did everything that she says to do in this book and did the little, there's a workbook that goes with it you can buy as well, that will help you go a little deeper for each thing. Just do that and see how your life has changed. If you do nothing else but that, it's phenomenal.
So we're talking about how Louise affected our lives personally, and I want to share a little bit about my own experience.
Please.
In 1986, I moved to Los Angeles, and my first job was actually to help open a very small six-bed HIV, a dedicated HIV and AIDS unit at West Covina Hospital under Dr. James Lee. And I was just getting acquainted with the community. I was living in Los Angeles. I got mugged one night and ended up at Marianne Williamson's lecture the next day. And her topic that day was victims, which was just perfect.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who Marianne Williamson is, she's lectured on The Course in Miracles for
ever
20 years or more, actually, for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I moved into a community where there was Marianne Williamson, United Spirit Church of Religious Science with Sandy Scott.
Yes.
There was Sally Fisher doing the AIDS Mastery. There was, I'm missing one besides Louise, and it'll come to me.
Nadia?
But, well, Nadia was definitely there, but Nadia I met through the hayride. And people kept telling me, you got to go to this meeting. This lady does this thing. Louise does this thing. Now, this is pretty much at the beginning
mm-hmm.
of the AIDS epidemic.
Yes.
Especially amongst the gay male community, we were in terror.
Of course, because you were told that you would die. And if anyone
right.
touched you and even gave you a hug or even brushed past you, you'd be dead.
Mm-hmm. It right.
was hugely scary time.
And the irony of that is when we opened that AIDS unit, the first death we had on that unit was a 68-year-old woman.
There you go.
So it was that kind of ironic when you think about
mm-hmm.
it. But
absolutely.
The thing is, even myself as a gay man who's HIV negative, there was still that darkness and that terror that we were all living under. When are we going to get it? We don't really know how we're going to get it.
Yeah.
And if we get it, we're not going to live more than a year or two. And that's what the doctors were saying, because they really didn't know anything different, or there wasn't any other medical explanation that could say otherwise.
Absolutely.
Louise started this group in her living room with six guys that she knew who had no place to go that wasn't about doom and gloom.
Yeah.
And from the way she described it, she started getting a lot of questions about what do I do, you know, I have AIDS, or someone I know has AIDS, how do I deal with this? And she started processing how that impacts her own life, and then opened her heart and opened her doors, literally her doors, to her own living room,
yeah.
to start this group that became known as the Hayride.
Right.
And the Hayride, as she says, it wasn't a healing group. I want to read this, actually. The way she describes it is the Hayride was not a healing group. It was a support group.
Yes, she never thought
and,
of the healing group.
And she writes, again, in the introduction, we decided to take a positive approach. We gathered every bit of positive information we could and shared it. If one person was feeling better, we asked what he was doing, and everyone tried it. Eating habits were improved as we learned about nutrition. We did a lot of releasing of resentment and much forgiveness work. We did mirror work. We learned meditation and visualization. And above all, we worked on learning to love ourselves. Bottom line.
Bottom line. And also something else she's told me as I've gotten to know her about that time in her life is how many families she saw be healed. You know, as far as, you know, compassion coming into people's lives, and parents talking to sons that maybe hadn't talked to them in many years, and it's just a whole other level that she hadn't expected. It's quite
mm-hmm.
wonderful.
Well, there were two sides of all of this, and for myself, and I said this on the radiothon today, you know, because she was talking about the safe place that the Hayride created for people
yeah.
with HIV and AIDS, And the important thing for me was there was another side of it, which was it was a safe place for those of us who were not infected, who were also terrorized at the thought of dealing with so much loss in our lives over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though the room was filled with the very people we loved and were getting sicker and, you know, at a certain point were dying left and right. There were sometimes
yeah.
three or four memorials and funerals a week.
Yeah.
It was the place we could go where we would get fed, nurtured, and rejuvenated by the very people that were struggling through this.
Yes, because you weren't getting it out there in the real world. There was
right.
some fear going on, and so to go into where the real world was, which was that hayride, was, you know, thank God for it, huh? Thank God for her.
Mm-hmm. And she knew well enough. She was, I mean, one of the things I really admire about her also is there's not a lot of ego there.
No, she could have.
She knew.
A parlay
she knows that she's holding a space mm-hmm. for people to do their own work.
That's right. Yeah, she could have turned that into a whole star turn, and that was not. That's never been what Louise has been about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, while guru means teacher, there are a lot of people in a situation like that would take that and really, and we've seen this very often,
oh, yeah.
where teachers take advantage of that position and that power and don't allow the people they're teaching to empower themselves with the work.
And, you know, I'm so naive. I'm always surprised when that happens. I'm just shocked, you know, when you hear those stories or people tell you what it was really like to work for X or Y or Z, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, being with Louise in her home and in all this environment with her all the time, that's just so not the case with her. And so it's I'm very blessed to be working with her.
Well, what would you say to people who go to certain classes or go to certain groups or workshops where there's this constant take the next one type of feeling?
Oh, you mean being forced to continue on and maybe it's not the perfect thing for them? Is that
well,
what you're asking?
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. To really, it's like there are a lot of organizations and a lot of teachers out there that feel that the only way they can survive is to keep these people hooked into their own the teacher system.
Well, knowledge is power, is what Louise always says. So, you know, I would caution people to be careful about just taking one path as being the only way. One of the things that Louise loves to tell me is that, you know, on the day that she leaves the planet, she's probably going to be signed up for some new fangled class just because she's curious. She's constantly taking classes, sitting in the back of the room at hearing her own Hay House speakers without them even knowing she's there because she's learning something new from them. I would say, you know, go down a lot of different roads, not just one. I think that's unhealthy for anybody, whether we're talking about spirituality or anything else. Just having blinders on, I think that's not wise. I mean, there's a whole, what does Abraham say? There's a whole buffet in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick and choose them all. I would be very cautious about just going down one road. It's rather sad and lonely.
Well, it's very much like in our world where certain religions say theirs is the only path to redemption and to God and to heaven and stuff like that.
My answer to that when someone says that is like, well, have you already gotten there at the end? So can you tell me if that's true or not? I mean, nobody's got the lock on that. So
well, and we're killing each other and we're in total judgment constantly on this planet because nobody's willing to acknowledge that other people's truths and paths may be just as valuable and just as meaningful as the one they're going.
You know, that's amazing that you bring that up, Stuart, because in this day and age, the war that's going on right over there in Iraq is a religious war, and we're not talking mm-hmm. about that in the United States. They're talking about it over there, and the news we're getting here is not the news that's out there in, you know. Now with the Internet, people should go and try to get on, you know, listen to the news that's international. Listen to the international news and not to the news in the United States and get a different take on the fact that, you know, people have other religious values and so on, and we're stomping on it big time. And it's just,
mm-hmm.
It's not affecting them until it affects you. You know, you're knocked on the head, then you're not going to pay attention, I guess. But
and what gets me, and it's sad, but it I chuckle at it sometimes, is that it's the people within particular religions that have differences that are really at each other, like the Shiites and the Sunnis, or the Catholics and the Protestants,
or the
Orthodox Jews and the Reformed Jews.
It's like
who needs to fight the outside your religion?
Yeah,
there are so many judgments, people.
Exactly.
It is all
pretty absurd, and that's another really wonderful thing about Louise. If you can't laugh at it, and if you can't laugh at the human condition, then you just might as well give it up. Have a lot of laughter in your life and don't take things so seriously,
Mm-hmm.
It's a really great way to live your life.
She was talking with someone on the radiothon today as I was listening after my segment was over.
Huh.
And she said something that maybe it's where I heard it the first time, but I work with my clients all the time around this. To me, there is a whole area that psychotherapists do not take into account when they're dealing with someone's depression or anxiety and things like that, and that has to do with current events. What's going on in the world that's bombarding us day and night?
Wow.
And I tell my clients all the time, do not wake up to the news on the radio and do not watch the evening or nightly news.
Right.
If you're going to get, to me, it's like occasionally I'll watch it, but to me, if you're going to get your news, I get it from the newspaper most of the time, and that's midday.
Yeah, there's other ways.
Don't go to sleep with something like that weighing on you because it's abusive.
Yes, and we don't realize that the world can be abusive just walking around in it every day. And so you have got to, again, be conscious of where you're walking, what you're allowing yourself to be confronted with, all day long. Are you allowed to let people, that's another wonderful thing about Louise. She just nips it in the bud if someone is talking in a negative manner, whether it be the person that's fixing her staircase or putting in a light bulb, or it be your best friend. I think that's a really incredible way to live your life is, are you willing to continue to be bombarded, or are you going to stand up and say something and not allow it in your life? And I've seen it over and over and again, and it's quite wonderful. Because at first it's a little jarring. You think you can't say that to so-and-so or whatever. And on the other hand, it starts to get easier and easier, and you have less and less of that kind of stuff around you because you don't know it.
Well, the name of my show is Tell the Truth Faster.
There you go.
And that's basically what you're saying. She does moment to moment to moment
to moment.
Absolutely.
And
she stays in her truth.
It's absolutely moment to moment. I've seen it. I have lived it with her, and it's wonderful. Because you get to see it happening right there, and you go, yeah, I got to remember to do that.
Now, let's talk about being the student and being the teacher.
All
right?
Hey.
You and I have been talking for about 40 minutes now about one of our teachers.
Yes.
One of many for both of us.
Yes.
And at a certain point, both you and I, whenever it was in your life, whenever it was in my life, got that we have our own voice, like I mentioned to you earlier today, on the air. And Louise is someone who really honors it and encourages that. But at what point did you find that you were aware that you became a teacher along with working for your teacher?
And it's an interesting line in which to walk. I worried about it for a little while, a number of years ago, because I knew it had happened, and I wasn't quite sure how that was going to be taken by her. And she is so incredibly encouraging, as you well know and just said, of people. She wants the student to turn into the teachers. She wants to see all of the students turn into teachers. That's a great triumph to her. So she's so wonderful with regards to that. For me, it came when I was answering these letters, because at first it was really just fan mail. It was people, and still to this day we get letters and people emailing, thanking her for the changes that her work has done in their life. So those are easy things to answer back and say, you're welcome, That's easy. But then I started to get the letters of my sister's dying of cancer, my husband just left me, I've got this rash on my foot, I can't seem to keep any money. I can't keep a job. You know, all the human condition. And she showed me how to answer those letters. She didn't show me exactly like how to write them, but she had a little log of kind of all the things she'd done over the years, you know, of the 20 years. I walked in where 20 years had already gone by, and she'd already answered these questions so much that we started keeping copies of the letters, and I put them in a little kind of category so I could, you know, easily go and look and say, what'd she say again about fibromyalgia? What is that really? Or what are the muscles mean? What do bones mean? What are, you know, different conditions and so on? And I got pretty good at kind of knowing at the drop of a hat what if someone is saying something's going on with their right side of their body, what that kind of might mean. So I started answering the letters myself 100%. At the beginning, I would show her the letter. She would give me a word or two to help me answer it and give it back. But when you're doing 10,000 of those, Stuart, a year, it's finally time for her to hand it over to me and say, just do it. And she was glad to do that because she'd already done 20 years of that. So I just started answering them, and occasionally I would get an answer back saying, oh, thank you, what you suggested I do really worked, and or, you know, intuitively you mentioned this to me and it's perfect, or my friend I wrote about, you know, has cured herself of this brain tumor. I'm like, what? You know, and I would show her this stuff, and it was not a surprise to her at all, but it was a little bit of a surprise to me. Because no one had told me I was intuitive. No one had told me that I could just go with my inner feeling of what the person was asking about and give them the tools they could use to make a difference for themselves.
Mm-hmm. So, now, were you signing these Shelley Anderson or Louise Hay?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is a small group out there that does know who I am, like you said, that really cracked me up at the beginning of the program. Because there are some people that do know, you know, because I started signing my name. At first I would just put personal assistant without saying my name. Isn't that sad?
Uh-huh. You weren't owning it yet.
I wasn't owning it yet, and now I totally own it. And then, of course, there's always those people that no matter what you say, nothing's going to help them. So, you know, you do the best you can to answer those people. But for the most part, I got such a huge validation that I knew what I was doing. And I used to always say, but all I have is my little college degree, and I know how to teach music and theater. You know, I don't know how to actually, like, I'm not a counselor. I don't have all these letters after my name and all that. And Louise goes, and I have letters after my name. So it's kind of being willing to step out and have the courage to just say, I think I can make a difference if, you know, in the world with people. If they want to ask a question, I'd be more than happy to go for it and give them my inner feeling of what maybe to do. But it's still all still Louise Hay background of still making people responsible for their life, making them see that maybe some choices they made could be changed slightly to maybe make things a little better for themselves. Just point them in the right direction.
Well, there was a moment. I mean, I've had a number of moments where I realized I would take a step to the next level of owning my own power and the material and information that comes through me.
Yes.
But one of them was when, at that period, after Louise had been doing the hayride for, I think, about 6 years, and she was really needing to take a break.
Yes.
And this is like 1992, 91, somewhere back there.
Right.
And she wanted someone else to take over. So every week, she started coming once a month. And every week she would have someone else she would have fill in. So she'd have Linda Logan 1 week and Sally Fisher 1 week and Sandy Scott another week and stuff. And here's this room filled with 800, mostly gay men. And she kept inviting more women to come in and more women to come in. You know, this matriarchal priestess, powerful energy, which was something that was part of all our healing in that day. And we were standing together at the door of the auditorium one night when it was her week to be back there, and they were about to introduce her, and I said, you know, Louise, I can't believe this came out of my mouth. I said, you know, Louise, look at this room. There are 800 people in here. Most of them are gay men. And you keep inviting women to come, and there's no male face and male voice in this community teaching this work. And I looked her in the eye and I said, you know I can do this.
Pretty off the wall, Stuart. You were a
and
stepper.
I go, it just came out, and then they introduced her, and she went up. Well, a few days later, she called me, and she said, there's a fifth week this month. Would you do that week? Because she didn't have anyone scheduled for the fifth Wednesday.
Cool.
So I said, of course I would. And a few days after I did the work, she sent me this beautiful letter saying, I can pass this on now because I got so many calls. In fact, the quote that I have on my website says, I have been watching Stuart's work for some time, and I am impressed with his integrity, his knowledge, and his enormous heart. It is his heart that enables him to do his work with such compassion and understanding. From rebirthing to running the Los Angeles Center for Living to courageously going to Russia to help fight AIDS there, he is first class all the way. You are all in good hands.
Wow.
Now, I know. I mean, it was humbling and
empowering at the same time.
Empowering at the same time, but also it fed my ego tremendously.
You think?
Yeah. And I really had to step back, and I really had to acknowledge that, all right, this somebody seeing into me, somebody seeing what I've known since I was a child is there. And to me, that's where the power comes from. When we are aware, even at a very young age, that we're here for something and something important, and we're teachers. There are a lot of people walking this planet, I believe, that even are 6 or 7 year old that already know this about themselves.
Oh, I have a 16-year-old daughter, and they definitely know. They don't know how to verbalize it yet. They haven't
exactly had
experiences yet, but there's a phenomenal youth. I have to tell you, the youth of the world, it's going to be a very phenomenal next 20 years because they just already know it. They've known it from day one, and get out of their way so they can do it. And they don't know what the heck that is yet, but it's very exciting to watch because I remember when I was very passionately involved in politics in California when I was 20. I couldn't vote. The voting age was 21 at the time, but, you know, I was so passionately involved in life and living life, and I see the same kind of look in their eyes, so it's very exciting. But Stuart, I have to acknowledge you. You are still doing the hayride all this time, and as you said to me the other day, you're doing it in your living room. It's come full circle, and I just acknowledge the heck out of you for keeping it going. People always are asking me if the hayride still exists, and I say, you betcha. It's so thrilling to be able to tell people it's still there.
Well, thank you. It's humbling for me. And actually, there was a point a few years ago where I was thinking of, you know, there were maybe 8 or 10 people, sometimes 6, that would show up on a night, and it was the same core group basically.
Uh-huh.
And this core group had become a family. And I said, do we really want to keep doing this? And there was a part of me that was kind of tired. And they said, unequivocally, we don't want to stop this. This is where we come each week to kind of know that we have family and know that we're no matter what's going on crazy in our lives, you know, this is the place we come. And I said, okay, I was just putting it out there. So there was a part of me a few years ago that was kind of ready to stop, but there was such clarity amongst the group energy. And it feeds me also.
Well, of course. And this is kind of what's going on with Louise. When I came into her life 8 years ago, she said, okay, I'm retiring next year. Well, she didn't retire for 7 years. You know, it's like you have wonderful memories of all this time. And so you have people that you do want to still be playing with in the universe. And even though maybe you personally would love to take a break here and there, there's just too many wonderful people and memories to not keep it going. And there'll be a point. But also look at what's happened in that movement over all these years, and all the technology now, and the understanding on the planet about AIDS, and certainly, you know, in California and in Los Angeles in particular. I mean, there's so much going on that wasn't happening way back when.
Well, it's one of the reasons why the size of the group shrunk the way it
Absolutely.
Did. One of it was the attrition because of the death.
Yeah.
Another reason was when Louise left, there were Louise groupies that if Louise wasn't the one there, they didn't want to come. But the other thing was, after a while, the Hayride wasn't the only show in town, so to speak, that was dealing with a more positive, uplifting, empowering type of energy.
And how exciting
came
is
along.
You know?
And yes, she set the foundation, and others ran with the ball.
Yeah,
so
like, thank you.
There were more opportunities.
Exactly. Do you want to have 800 people in your living room? I don't think so. So yeah, it's very cool. It reached a critical mass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's very cool.
So let's talk a little bit. I mean, we talked about how Louise changed our lives and individual lives, but the work she has done is global.
Yes.
So we have the Hay Foundation, and we have what else in terms of Louise? We have the Hay Foundation, Hay House Publishing.
We have LouiseHay.com, and we have the newsletter, the Louise Hay newsletter. So, you know, the people around the world, she has huge following in Latin America, for instance, Brazil and Argentina. You know, amazing. She has a wonderful following in the UK. There's Hay House UK.
Australia.
Oh, there's Australia. There's Hay House Australia was our first kind of international try, you know, and then we started the UK group just a few years ago. Now we have Hay House South Africa. And we're talking about complete staff, you know, complete programs going on, their own little companies in these countries. We're just about to open out Hay House India, and we've had people in Canada for many years. So we're on five continents right now, and that's just phenomenal to her and to all of us that it's grown that big. But people are thirsty for this information.
Well, and if people want this information, I want to say these websites again. There's LouiseHay.com, where people can get books and gifts and daily affirmations and
find out what
letters.
Yeah.
And there is the Hay Foundation. Now, the Hay Foundation is actually a charitable foundation that helps support financially things that are going on all over the planet.
Yes, and it started out small, and the way that Louise likes to do it, and you can go on the site on hayfoundation.org and see more about it, but really she wants to just give a little bit of money in a lot of places where she knows it's going to go to the local, meal delivery service for HIV and AIDS patients, to the local humane society, to the local women's shelter. She started in that area, and then it's grown a little bit bigger. But we're really not into giving tens of thousands of dollars to the American Red Cross. God love them. You know, we have people that can do that. We really like to take every dime that, you know, we get and put it where that dime is going to be really appreciated and really used. When we were doing the telethon today, you were on the radio, but I was there in the studio, and she actually had to sign some papers as we were leaving, and they were the tax forms for the Hay Foundation for this past year, and I never really sat and looked at these kind of forms for a charitable foundation. I have my own that I do, but, you know, and there was actually a page where it showed how much percentage of the money that we receive we send back out. I've never seen that on a form before. 99.82%, Stuart.
Wow.
That's phenomenal.
That's very rare for a foundation.
That's rare. I was surprised. I thought it would be like 90. So, I mean, you know, we really do our best to serve a lot of people, and we give a monthly. We give something that's going to come in every month, as opposed to, here's $2,000 and we'll never speak to you again.
And if people want to make a donation to the Hay Foundation, they can go to the website hayfoundation.org.
Yes, they can do it there. Yeah, or they can write
it. She gives the things. I mean, I'm looking at the page right now, and she deals with alcohol abuse on an Indian reservation in South Dakota. She deals with animals. She has women's issues, prison reform, children's issues, athletics. There's nothing she's not doing
in terms of
the foundation.
You know what we're doing that's really her fun thing that she's just started doing is Heifer International. We actually bought some goats that were given to some group of people that are trying to get their life back together, actually in the United States. It's also international that it's done, but it's helping people be, you know, self-sufficient. And have a business and all of that stuff. And Heifer International is a very interesting organization people should look at just for fun. And recently Bill Clinton was being interviewed on the television a couple weeks ago, and he mentioned it, and it really surprised me. I was like, cool. And we're doing Habitat for Humanity, especially down there in New Orleans. But, you know, we're picking specific little things like that where we know they have the ability to go build the houses. We don't, you know, so we're giving to organization that we really trust. What was cool today on the telethon, too, was all these various people that we've given money to called in and spoke to Louise for a moment to say thank you, and I think that really touched her heart, you know, because we do write those checks every month, and we certainly do it with love, but it's kind of nice to have everyone say thank you for a moment back. You know, it's like, oh, wow, I forgot about the prison reform and giving to, and the art teacher. And
Shelley, I need to interrupt you because it's time for me to say thank you to you.
Oh, my goodness, that hour went so fast.
I know. I told you it would.
Tell the truth faster.
That's right. So I'd love to have you on again, and I mean that genuinely.
I would love to have you again.
And I want to thank you, and I want to thank the way you support Louise, and I want to put a happy birthday and thank you to Louise out there and to the universe. And I want to thank my listeners. And if you want more information or you want to get in touch with Shelley or myself, go to tellthetruthfaster.com, and you can email me, and anything you send to Shelley, I will pass on to her. But you also have the links to the Hay websites. So this is Stuart Altschul on Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM, 1310 AM in Phoenix, Arizona, saying thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, and I'll be back next week.